You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Everyone is packing up and heading home after a very long spring training, including the San Francisco Giants, and including Chris Happ, who is packing up as we speak. Let's catch up with him. I'm Allison Footer. Chris, you are trying to get that suitcase under 50 pounds, and we're also trying to figure out what's going on with the fifth starter front and how this rotation is going to shape out. So let's start off with Ty Block. He seems to be right in there. He had a really good outing. I liked your story where you said, like, it's kind of, you know, can you get through like a third time through the lineup? That sort of signifies a decent starter, and Ty Block certainly had signs that he might be able to do that in his last outing. So what's the latest on him?
I think a lot's going to depend. That doesn't take a lot of thinking on how Matt Cain does, how Matt Cain would do later on their final game in Arizona on Tuesday. The feeling is that the Giants wanted Matt Cain to just take the job, but he really didn't. He pitched marginally, you know, okay, but you know, Ty has outperformed him so far in spring. I think it's, I don't think there's any, you know, question about that. But what do you do with Matt Cain? I mean, he makes $20 million a year. He has a position of status. You could stay on the team as the, you know, longest tenured Giant, you know, since August 2005. So yes, they want to treat him with respect. You know, they also are in the business of winning ball games. The Giants are. So, you know, there's a lot of different scenarios. Maybe Cain will quote unquote suffer an injury and begin the season in extended spring training, and you know, still trying to get his stuff and deception back. Maybe Cain will be the number five starter, but Block will make the bullpen crew. We've got different permutations here.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the Giants want Cain to make this rotation because they're paying Cain a lot of money. And that's really kind of what it comes down to. it's really unfortunate. I mean, you do have to take it to the very last second to make this decision when it comes to that situation, right? I mean, they just have to make sure that there's really not they have to come to the conclusion that there's no chance that Matt Cain's going to be able to get out in this rotation before they can really move on anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, they want him to do well. They really want him to do well. He showed some signs his last out, and he gave up three runs and four hits against Milwaukee and just didn't look good at all. But then he settled down. So, you know, do you base your decision on that first inning or on the final four innings when he allowed, like, one run and three hits? So, you know, and that ability to fight back, you know, that's what you want out of a pitcher. So, who knows?
So what about some other position battles here? Tim Fedorowicz, which you're telling me that everyone calls him Tim FedEx. So he's been working with Block, but he's also just been having a really nice spring. Of course, there's not room for him because he's got a couple catchers ahead of him. But they really like what they've seen from him this spring, haven't they?
Really like what they've seen, Allison. And I remember him, especially from his days with the Dodgers. You know, he was always a tough out. Seemed like he handled the pitchers well. Not a whole lot to complain about. I mean, you know, definitely an asset for a club. Maybe not a starter quality catcher, but definitely a good backup. And good backup catchers don't grow on trees. There may be some opportunities for him elsewhere in the major leagues. And if one comes up, Bobby Evans, the Giants general manager, will not hold Tim Fedorowicz back. He'll let Tim walk, which is very fair.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last time we talked, we were waiting for kind of a diagnosis on Will Smith. Now we have a diagnosis, which is that he's having Tommy John surgery. A huge bummer, just a big bummer for him and for the team, but it sounds like it's going to be open season on who fills that spot. They don't seem to have there are a lot of names being thrown out there about who's going to get these late inning appearances in his place.
Yes, Allison, I think these last four exhibition games, the one final Cactus League game today and the three Bay Bridge series games back in the Bay Area. I think there'll be, I think Bruce Bochy will use him as a proving ground, so to speak, for you know, guys wanting to going for a setup role.
Okay, and I want to ask you one last question on something totally unrelated. That would be Huey Lewis coaching, showing up to coach a spring training game for somebody who kind of liked it in the 80s. So this piqued my interest a little bit. What was the story behind that? I know he's a Giants fan. He's from there, right?
Yeah, he's from north of the, you know, I want to say Marin, Novato area. That's the people, okay. I don't know how many people out there know Novato, but most people are probably familiar with Marin County. Yeah, big Bay Area sports fan. I think he kind of likes the Cubs. He showed up last year when they played the Cubs. He showed up at Mesa. Now, I'm not saying he's a front runner or anything, but you know, he has the right to change his allegiance if he wants. But no, he's been. He routinely sang the anthem at 49er games, and you know, occasionally at Candlestick Park, and you know, the Giants' previous home, in particular. But. Yeah, but he knows Bruce from, I think, maybe from some maybe celebrity golf functions, too, and stuff like that. And so they have a bit of a relationship, and he was in town. He came by. Didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I know I took a really I knew the night before, because Bruce said something, I guess the day before, that he was going to be in town. So I was kind of on the lookout for him, and because if I wasn't on the lookout for him, I might not have noticed him. I mean, it's not that he's changed, but you're just not programming your mind to think, you know, ballpark equals sign Huey Lewis, you know, so.
That's very true. I mean, he looks very, he blends in very well. I remember the World Series a couple of years ago. He was on the field during batting practice. I believe he had some kind of role during the pregame ceremony. I think it was like play ball, like yelling out play ball.
Right. Something.
But if you're not looking for him, he does absolutely just kind of blend into the, he does not look like a superstar kind of guy. He's very understated.
Well, he seems like a really good guy. Really, you know, I hate to say, use the word normal, but as normal as anybody can be for a, you know, guy who has about, you know, 10 gold records or whatever.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty nice guy. So, yeah. And it's always fun to, like, have something different like that happen when you've covered 87 straight days of spring training or whatever it was.
Oh, sure.
So. Okay. All right, Chris, so we're going to end this. You recently talked to Bruce Bochy about the upcoming season, and we're going to run that interview. Here it is.
The feeling of optimism here, I sense, at least, is, seems real and genuine, not forced at all. Well, how do you...
Well, it is. I think you look at... you know, our history here in just the last 5-6 years, you know, with the success that we've had, I mean, we expect more out of ourselves, and we come in here full of optimism. I mean, we have a lot of the same club that's won 3 championships here, you know, we have the Posies and Belts and Crawfords, and Baumgartners, all these players that we built within our system. And so you come in here and you get ready for a season expecting to do good things.
There aren't a whole lot of openings. Well, I guess there's 7 openings on the roster. I would think you're satisfied that guys are seem to be having or winning jobs and you're not having to pick like the lesser 2 or 3 evils. Guys are going out and competition.
Yeah, and competition is a good thing. It is. I think it brings out the best in players. You know, they have to play under pressure, I guess you could say, trying to win a job. And that's not a bad thing either. You know, the tough part is when you have a lot of great guys in camp. And you get toward the end of camp where we're at this stage, and you got to make some very difficult decisions. You know, that's the part that's tough for all of us, because we do care about these guys, but now we have to, you know, get down to 25 guys. The 25 we think makes us the best club and gives us the best chance to get to where we want to go.
On paper, at least, the starting rotation looks like it shapes up to be one of the best you've had here. How do you see that?
Well, they're the reason that you know, we had success last year. I know we had struggles in the bullpen, but you look at the first half, and we were one of the best clubs in baseball. Signing Melanza, that was huge for us. It's a lot easier building down and trying to find that closer, but we feel like we have the arms that are capable of being good setup guys. You look at the rotation, what you're talking about. I couldn't be happier. I mean, you got 2 number one guys with Baum and Cueto, and then, of course, Wade Moore threw the ball. Samardzija, I think, has come off a good year. He gave us everything we had hoped. All the innings, large body of work that saved the bullpen. And of course, at this spot, we're staying open-minded there with Matt Cain and Block. And down the road, you have candidates like Suarez or Beattie.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.